hospital. You know, the church is a hospital. It's not a museum for perfect people. This is a hospital for hurting people. And it's where people get better. And that's what you hope you do when you go to the hospital. You go with the hope you're going to get better. Amen? And they do have some stuff up there that helps. And we got some stuff here that helps. Amen. Some people get better faster than others do, even with the same sickness. I know somebody said, well, I had that. I didn't have all these problems. Well, good for you. Aren't you glad you didn't? Amen. Don't criticize your brother because he's having more trouble than you are. Be thankful you didn't have all those complications. Hello? This is good. I might just preach this instead of what I started. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is all about helping and helping folks get better. That's what we're doing here. Amen. We're helping one another get better. Amen. You really don't. Usually at the hospital, you don't hear people saying, you again? Amen. They're glad to get your money. You know, they're glad you're there. Keep Sister Kimberly in a job. Amen. Gives the doctors a place to practice. Amen. But it's all about helping people get better. That's what church is. It's just about helping people get better. We're all trying to get to heaven. I believe we're on the right road. I believe there'll be more people going to heaven out of the church than anywhere else. Amen. All these people trying to do it another way, hugging trees and looking through crystals and whatever they're doing. I believe folks are going to go to heaven from the church. Amen. Jesus is coming back for His church. And I just want to be a part of that. How about you? Amen. Well, we're going to preach tonight about how to stop stinking thinking. Now, all of you youth, I'm sorry you're going to miss that. And you kids, I'm sorry you're going to miss that. You can go ahead and go to your class. The rest of us are going to learn how to stop stinking thinking. You know what stinking thinking is? Yeah, you know that. Those are bad thoughts. Amen. And all of us have some bad thoughts. You know what? If every thought that had been in people's minds had been put up there on that screen, there wouldn't be anybody sitting here tonight. Everybody here would have been embarrassed and you'd already gone home. Even in church, I'm talking about. You know, things come in your mind and you don't really invite it. It just comes. You know, well, so-and-so put on a few pounds. Come here. You know, all these thoughts just come in your head. They just pop in there. Stinking thinking. Amen. And that's the mild stuff. That's the mild stuff. All kinds of thoughts come into our head. And everybody thinks. Everybody. Now, I know sometimes we look at people and say, what were they thinking? But they were thinking. It might not have been thinking right. It might have been stinking thinking, but they were thinking. Everybody thinks. And Proverbs 23:7 said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Thank you for standing. I'm going to have a bunch of verses, so I'm not going to have everybody stand up every time I read one, so you can be seated if you want to, because that was it. We're done. Amen. Now, if you want to stand up every time I say one, that's fine, but we got that one done. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, you are the sum total of your thoughts. If you think you're messed up, amen. If your thoughts are negative, you're negative. If your thoughts are positive, you're positive. If your thoughts are holy, you're holy. If your thoughts are carnal, you're carnal. Whatever your thoughts are, that's what you are. Whatever you think, that's what you become. So our thoughts make us what we are. You want to improve yourself? Improve your thoughts. Learn how to stop stinking thinking. And when you do that, then you can become better. God wants you to be better. Amen. You know, sometimes people have a hard time progressing in life because they're afraid to change. They're afraid to be too good. You can't get too good. That's right. Some people want to progress to a certain place, but then they want to go beyond that because that's as far as they know has ever been. And they think, well, I've gone as far as mom and daddy went. That's as far as I want to go. Oh, no, 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 no. If you can go further, you must go further. Amen. It would be a compliment to your parents for you to do better. I don't know a parent alive that doesn't want their children to excel. I want my daughter to do better than I've done. But she better get with it. Amen. She's already surpassed me in education. But I still have the horse sense in the family. Amen. Amen. So she knows a lot more about some things. And that's a good thing. She's a smart lady. I appreciate it, but I want my daughter to do well. I want her to make a lot of money so she can support me in my old age. I want to go to a good nursing home. I want her to do well. Amen. And you do too. Amen. So we don't want to stop people, to limit people. In the church, we don't want to limit people. I want you to do well. Amen. But I don't want to get more spiritual than you. Well, don't worry about that. You just get spiritual. Maybe you'll inspire me to get more spiritual too. Amen. I don't want to outpray you. Well, you just keep praying and don't worry about me. I'll catch up with you. Amen. That's just that you excel through your thinking, through your thoughts. It's important. All of us think. Everybody does. And the mind is very powerful. You know, computers are powerful. They do a lot of things. But a computer, that I read today that if your brain was a computer, it would take all the water that goes over Niagara Falls to just keep it cool from all the thinking it does. We don't even think about everything we think about. But your mind is full of thoughts all the time. You say, well, you know, I did that without thinking. No, you didn't. If you move your arm or blink your eyes, or nod your head, anything, it's a thought. Thought makes it happen. You can't do it without thinking. It's going to happen to you. But you think so quickly about so many things at the same time. Your brain is amazing how God made it. And you know what I think is particularly interesting? Is scientists say we only use about 8 to 10% of our brain. If we're this smart, just using 2%, no telling how smart we'll be in heaven when we use it all. And I don't think God intended us for waste 92% of our thinking capacity. I think He's got a plan for that somewhere down the road. I just have my own opinion, and that's all this is, but I kind of feel like that when Adam and Eve sinned, they had put some limitations. Sin puts limitations on people. It certainly affected our physical body. I believe it affected our thinking. And I believe it certainly affected our spirituality. So those things that were done in sin are going to be taken away in heaven and will be restored to capacities, I believe, that we don't have right now. Your mind is powerful. It's very, very powerful. Amen. Somebody said you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, and you reap a destiny. But it all starts with a thought. Every deed starts with a thought. Always. Everything we do begins with a thought. We have an enemy that attacks our thinking. I've said this many times, but I want to repeat it again tonight. All the devil can do to you as a human being is put a thought in your head. When people say, the devil made me do that, that's not true. He cannot make you do anything. If the devil could make people do things, he'd be doing it all the time. And you'd never do anything good. He just doesn't have the ability to make you do anything. But he can put a thought in your head. And that's what he did to Eve, wasn't it? He just put a thought in her head. He just asked a question. Hath God said, you cannot eat of all the trees in the garden? All he wanted to do was to put in her head this little thought that if God really loved you, he wouldn't withhold that tree from you, and you'd be able to eat all the trees, and you'd know good and evil if God really loved you. That's the way he is. He puts thoughts in our head. And then we have to act on that thought, either reject it or accept it, think on it, and if we think on it in time, we'll fulfill it. So we do have an enemy on the outside. Ephesians chapter 6 and 12 said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our enemies are. Our enemies are not other people. Our enemies are spiritual powers. And they put thoughts into our head. The Bible, Peter talked about them. He called them fiery darts. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you'll have a thought and you think, where in the world did that come from? You'll just be minding your own business and all of a sudden this horrible thought comes into your head. You thought, I must be a terrible person to think something like that. And the devil said, oh yeah, you are. You're bad. You're real bad. If you're a Christian, you would never have a thought like that if you were a Christian. Well, he's the one that gave you the thought. And now he's condemning you for thinking it. See how he works? That's stinking thinking. Amen. So you have a thought, you just understand, hey, that wasn't me. I'm not accepting that. I'm not thinking like this. Amen. I'm not thinking like this. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how thoughts can be. You know, you just all of a sudden you look around and somebody looks away and you think, well, I wonder what I did to make them look away like that. They must not like me. Huh? And then you start, you know what I'm saying? Here it is. You get on that little train and that train of thought and you chug, 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 and here you go. And they don't like me. Well, I don't like them either anyway. I never did think. And next thing you know, you're way off and never land. Oh, some stupid thought that had nothing to do with anything. Amen. Well, you didn't talk to me. I might not have even seen you. Amen. I don't know how you are, but sometimes when I'm thinking, I'm sorry, but I kind of shut things out. And I see things, but they don't always register. And so cut us a little slack here. We're not being mean, and it's not because we don't like you. It's just we're thinking. Thoughts are so very interesting. Amen. But the Bible said we're not defenseless. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 said, for we walk not in the flesh, and we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's how you defeat stinking thinking. Amen. We have the ability to bring every thought into captivity. You remember Peter talked in one verse, he talked about gird up the loins of your mind. That means to draw your thoughts together. Have you ever been around people that Their thoughts were very interesting. You were here, and then you were there, and then you were over there, and there. It's quite a journey. Amen. Because they don't bridle their thoughts. Amen. And then some people that just, every thought they have, they express. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, it's just as bad to think it as it is to say it? That is not true. That is not true. Matter of fact, you need at least a 2 or 3 or 5 second delay between your mouth and your brain. You know, the Bible said be slow to speak. You know what says that? Take your time before you say a word. And think about what you're saying. Yeah, that's good advice. The Bible says that. Be slow to speak. Amen. You take your time and you'll have to eat a lot less words by doing that. You'll offend far less people by doing that. Just slow down your thinking process or your speaking process. And think before you say. Get your words together before you spit them out. That's hard to do when you're preaching like we do up here all the time. But you just slow down when you speak. Think before you speak. Very important that you learn to do that. Amen. But the Bible said that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. Amen. Did you know it's a lot easier to live in a fantasy world than it is to live in the real world? It's easy to take a flight of fancy in your mind, in your brain, and to live in the real world. But there's not any value to that. Because the fantasy world does not exist. You can create a husband or a wife in your head that can't exist. Some people do. They create the perfect mate in their brain. And then they despise the one they have because they'll never live up to that. Can't. It's impossible. Live in the real world. Amen. Live in the real world. This is where we have to live, folks, here. Amen. To live above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, oh, that's another story. That's it, isn't it? Yeah, we're looking forward to that day, brother, but right now, it's living below with those we know. And that is another story. We got to live in the real world, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Well, we got a lot of that out there today. Amen. And I talk about it maybe even too much, but it's so, to me, it's sad that we've decided that we know better than God knows. And, you know, like our origins, that, you know, God didn't create us. We've decided that if he did, then he used evolution to do it. And yet his word contradicts that. And you have to believe one or the other. I know a lot of people are trying to reconcile the two. But you can't. One's a faith that leaves God out. The other's faith that's founded on God. And so we just have to believe one or the other. We can't put them together like that. And when it comes to moral questions, you know, some people think they know better than God. No, they don't. But so he said that this weapon that we have, it casts down every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Can anything really supersede the knowledge of God? Do you think a human being can have a thought that's higher than the thoughts of God? He answered that himself. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways." But we find human beings that think they know better than God. That we have what God thinks and what God said and what God wants in His Word. But then we have humans that want to improve that, they think. And so their thoughts, they say, are higher than God's. Oh, that's old-fashioned stuff. We don't do it that way anymore. Well, I don't think He's changed His mind. If He did, He'll send us another letter. And so far, He hasn't done it. As a matter of fact, He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, and my words shall not pass away." He said, not one jot, not one tittle. Those are not even letters. Those are just punctuation marks. Nothing's going to change. God's not going to change. Amen. So we have to be careful about getting our thoughts and thinking that they're greater than God's thoughts. Amen. Have to be very careful about that. Hallelujah. But that's some of the things we battle. And then we preach this Sunday morning, but I just want to throw this in from Psalm 1. Remember that? Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The first thing that good thinking is it has discernment and it has wisdom. Amen. And there's a way, we'll find out in just a moment how to get that, but you need a mind that can discern between right and wrong. The Bible talks about a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that does not have the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. It is founded in confusion and chaos and cannot think correctly because at some point it rejected truth. And when you reject truth, you're condemned to error. It's the only all it can be. And so he talks here about a mind. He said, "Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But the second verse said, "But he delight his delight." But say delight. I love that word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. So first of all, he said that his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. He doesn't argue with it, but he loves it. Amen. Don't we have people today, they hate the Bible. They do. They hate it. They don't want it anywhere, brother. They don't want it in the classroom. They don't want it in the hospital. They don't want it in the motel room. They don't want it in the pulpit. They don't want it anywhere. They don't want 10 commandments anywhere. They don't want nothing anywhere. Nothing to do with the Bible. If you can find it in the Quran, it would be okay. Or if you can find it in the writings of the Hindus, it's okay. If you can find it in Confucius, it's okay. If you can find it somewhere in history, it's okay. Hey, guess where all that came from? Its roots are in the Word of God. Some years ago, when I was in Bible college, we went to had a comparative religions class, and Guru Maharaji was in town. So I went to see him, and I thought, well, this will be interesting. And you know what I found? A rock band, first of all, just playing a bunch of music, and people down there dancing around like a bunch of heathen, juking and jiving. Little fog over there. If police had been in there, they would have arrested them, I guess. If they wouldn't join them. Marijuana going on. I'm way up in the nosebleed section. Watching. Just see what's going on. But here's the thing. There's a little fat 12-year-old boy he's the wisdom of God. Sitting on his little throne up there watching all this. And behind him, there are words that are going across the screen. And you know what they were? They were perverted scriptures. If you had a Bible knowledge, you would have recognized every one of them and knew where they came from and the correct version of what they said. But he distorted them. That's what the devil doesn't. He doesn't have anything original. He doesn't have an original word. His words are what God says, and then he twists it a little bit. And that's all it does. That's all it takes to make a lie, isn't it? Just add something or take away. Amen. We can't be like the brother that said, "What I preach is more than the truth." Back up a little, brother. Stop at truth. If it's more, then that's too far. You're adding two. Come back. Stay on the realm here. Amen. But we got to stick with truth in it. But that's what that was. It was the word of God twisted. And then when he opened his mouth and started speaking, now I knew what I had all that good stuff up there. Because he said, you know what he sounded like? A 12-year-old boy. But I guess if you were high enough, like many of them were, you could maybe get something out of that. Think, oh, that's deep. Amen. Amen. Stinking thinking. The world's full of it. Yes, amen. But we've got to keep it. So first, we need discernment. Then we need to love the word of the Lord. That's discipline. But I say discipline. Don't we love that word? Discipline. If there was ever a time that we needed discipline, we need it today. Amen. We need to discipline ourselves. You know, did you know there are churches where they want less church and shorter sermons? In the old days, and I'm not saying we have to go back to the old days, but in the old days, you know, that's very good. In the old days, you know, preachers used to preach a couple of hours. And if you got up to leave, they'd say, "What's the matter, brother? Got your thimble full?" I mean, you wasn't preaching if you didn't preach about that long. Aren't you glad I'm not old? Amen. But discipline is necessary. It's to make our minds, and we learn to do that. One of the worst enemies of the discipline of the mind is a television, because it requires no thought. It's the perfect amusement. The word amuse means without thinking. Muse means to think. The A negates it and makes it a negative, without thinking. So when you sit down in front of a television, you don't have to think. It thinks for you. And you watch, people watch that, and it thinks for them, and it has a problem, and then 30 minutes it solves it, and everybody's happy. Even the dead people show up again next week. It's a miraculous invention. Well, I don't know if I ought to go there, but I might as well. I'm out there now, huh? I wouldn't be surprised if a whole lot of the ADD, HD, what are the D's stuff comes from. Is that kind of thing. That's a babysitter, you know. And it trains everybody's thoughts to be a certain way. I'm just getting really wild here. I think it's a good thing when children have to think to entertain themselves. You know, when I grew up, and I must be old because now I'm going back to what used to be. I guess not, because I still do this. But we thought when we played. We built things. You know, it takes some imagination to build a castle out of what we had. But we could do it, bud. Hey, man, we made up games. We made up rules as we went along. Hey, man, all kinds of, we were always thinking. Good things, always thinking. And creating and doing and communicating. Those are skills that you need in life. But if you park in front of some device, whether it's a television or a video game, And you just sit there and vegetate and let that thing think for you and tell you everything. How are you going to grow? You don't learn how to think independently. You don't learn communication skills. There are so many things that you miss. I'm one of those poor kids that didn't have a television growing up. Look what a messed up I am today. I can think for myself. I don't need anybody to think for me. Amen. And I can weigh what other people say, just like this is talking about right here. And I can weigh it against the word of the Lord and decide whether it's right or it's wrong. Lead to discernment. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, he said. And then the next step, he said, meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate day and night. Amen. Now meditate. Old timers would say something different, you know, cogitate or something else. You know, they'd come up with a different word, but meditate. That means that you keep it on your mind and you mull it over and over. You think about it. And you think about it. And you examine the words. And you go in depth in what it said. And meditation's good because that's how it gets into you and sinks down into your spirit. If you're just trying to speed read your way through the Bible, you won't get very much. If you're just trying to hurry up so you can check off the little squares, you know, hey, I did it today. Amen. I really got it in quick. I had to read it in 30 seconds, but I got it in today. Hell, you probably get much. I'm all for reading the Bible through. You ought to do that. It's good. But you also need to meditate. Find some verses, maybe some things that apply to something you're going through right now. And you have an anger problem, find some verses on anger and meditate on it. Whatever your problem may be. But meditate on the word of the Lord. Think on it. You're going to be thinking something. So why not let it be something good? Isn't that right? I said, you're going to be thinking about something. You're going to be thinking about how you ought to be thinking about something better. So just think about something better. Meditate on the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If that's a lot better than meditating on what somebody did or what somebody said, some sad thing. Amen. Somebody's not doing something that you're happy about. So you're not happy. That's right. And the longer you think about it, you're not going to be happy. Hallelujah. So he said meditate. Discern, discipline, meditation. Discernment, discipline, meditation. That's good advice. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I'll try to speed this up. If y'all listen quicker, I'll speak quicker. That was page 1. I've only got 4, so we're nearly there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he gives us some things here that are important. First of all, he talks about not conforming to the world. J.B. Phillips, in his translation of the New Testament, put this in a very unique way. He said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Have you ever seen those little jelly molds, you know, that you make all kinds of jelly with? Or jello, that's it, jello, isn't it? Not jelly, jello. I left off an O there. Jello. And you can make all kinds of shapes with it. Or cakes. The other day, Cherie made the cake in a Texas pan. So we had a Texas cake. We used to have a bundt cake, not burnt, bundt. It would dump it upside down. It's got them little ridgy things. And you know what I'm talking about. But he said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And that's what it tries to do. There's pressure that tries to make us think a certain way. And here's what I find so interesting about our day and age is, you know what they say? Brother, you got to be diverse. We got to have diversity. You know what diversity means? It means everybody think like me. You can't think opposite. You got to think like I think. That's diversity. That's what's wrong with Christians. Y'all don't have any diversity. Amen. Well, I've thought enough to figure out you're wrong. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to give in to that. I don't want to be wrong. Amen. A good example of this is Daniel and his friends in Babylon. They were captives. They changed their names. They fed them different kinds of food. They lived in a different culture. Everything about them had changed. But they wouldn't conform to the way Babylonians thought. They went to their school and they received education, and they took the good and they left out the bad. You know, truth is truth no matter who teaches it. A mathematical equation that's a true mathematical equation, it's true whether you learned it in Israel or in Babylon. A true historical fact is true whether you learn it in Israel or in Babylon. If it's truly a scientific fact and not just a theory, it's true whether you learn it in Israel or in Babylon. So you see, they're thinking, they took the truth and they had discernment. And they could discern what was true and what was not. Moses was the same way. Moses was educated in the courts of Pharaoh. But when he wrote the Word of God, the Word that he wrote, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those letters were not colored by Egyptian thinking. Even though he was in the world, he was not of that world. And that's our situation. We are in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. We can still have discernment and still think righteously, even though we live in an ungodly situation. That's what we mean by not being conformed. Don't let it squeeze you into it. Amen. You can hear it and let it go in one ear and let it go out the other ear. Amen. That's important, isn't it? John said, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." I want you to look at, first of all, what's in the world? He said, first, it's just lust. What is lust? It's strong desire. He said, that's all there is. I'm telling you today, there's no satisfaction in the world. Sin always promises what it cannot deliver. It will promise you satisfaction, but when it's all over, it will leave you empty and lacking. And you try it again, and it's not any better the second time. And you try it until it becomes a habit, but still it leaves you unsatisfied. Because all that is in the world is lust. Lust of the eyes, which is pressure against my mind. Our eyes, you see, are the mirror to the soul, and everything that comes through here winds up between your ears right there in your mind. That's why the Bible says guard your eyes. Be careful what you put before your eyes, because what's in front of your eyes goes into your head and your thoughts. Images can get in your thought pattern. Words can get in your head. Thoughts can get in your head. You got to be careful what you allow in there. Now, there are certain things that we are exposed to that we cannot help. Have you ever been to Walmart in the summertime? Oh, some of the things you got to see. Amen. I wonder, people. Did you look in the mirror before you left? Why would you expose me to that? You know what I'm talking about. Amen. That's our world, though. This is the world we live in. We got to put up with it. And you could be a black and blue Pharisee. You know what those were? Those guys, they saw something, they'd close their eyes. So they'd see it again, and they'd run into things. So they'd bruise themselves, and they're black and blue Pharisees. So, but that doesn't do anything. So there are some things that we, just by living, we're exposed to. But there are other things that we can limit our exposure to. And that's a different thing, isn't it? That's a different thing. Amen. That's a different thing. And so that's the lust of the eyes, pressure against your mind. The lust of the flesh, it's pressure against your body. There are things that incite desire in the physical body. And those are things that we've got to be careful about. In the pride of life, that's pressure against your will. We talk about peer pressure as being a young people's thing, but it's old people too. Amen. I've heard people say, I don't care what people think about me. And what other lies have you told? Of course you care what people think about you. Amen. Yes, you do. If for no other reason, you need to manipulate them to get them to do what you want them to do. We all care what people think about us. That's right. And you think Madison Avenue doesn't know that? That's what advertising's all about. Man, just think how good you'd look driving this. Think how good you'd look wearing that. Think how good a cook people think you, how good a cook people would think you are if you could cook this. You know, and that's the whole thing. It's all about how brilliant you are and how good you're going to look and how people are going to envy you. And that's the whole system. It's all built on pride, isn't it? And it affects us to some degree. It does. I bought an ugly car one time because I thought, well, I won't need this car very long. And it's real ugly. I know it's got some problems and it doesn't look very good, but I can drive this. Oh, I was so miserable driving that car. Hated driving that car. I was so glad when it got mechanical problems I had to get rid of it. Had a good excuse. Not really. It hit me in the pocketbook. I don't like that much. But I found out something about myself. I'm more vain than I think I am. That bothered me. Brother Neil, is that bad? Just maybe I need to drive an ugly car, but it's hard. I did care. I mean, I was representing missions, foreign missions, you know. I was the missions representative. And I'd pull up in front of churches and I'd think, church, how far can I get away in the parking lot here? Amen. So I learned something about myself that I think being representatives of God, we do need to present ourselves well. Don't you think so? Amen. I think it's a good thing I changed clothes before I got in the pulpit tonight. Yeah, I had on, you know, some jeans that were stained with paint and all kinds of stuff, and you know, a shirt that had paint and stuff on it. And I did take a shower before I came. I think that's a good thing. That's not pride. That's just being considerate. And I'm glad you did. But pride of life, it's pressure against my will. And there's a good pride, and then there's an ugly pride. That you want to represent the Lord and your church well, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't get scared to some extreme. But to spend your way in the debt to impress somebody else, that's a bad kind of pride. To do something that because of your pride, that you will hinder your family and God. That's the wrong thing to do. Amen. And then, so don't let the world conform you into its image. And then he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We make this presentation. The scripture said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we are to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Now that brings about all kinds of interesting... One of the reasons that we are against certain things that destroy the body is because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we've taken a stand against alcohol and illicit drugs and cigarette smoke and overeating. That last one gets us, that some of us. Amen. Yeah, but you know, we do present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, because our body is a temple. Not only is your body a temple, but the Bible also says that your body is one of God's tools. Did you know your body is a tool for God? Romans chapter 6 verse 16 said, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether unto sin or whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Yield the instruments of righteousness." Yield the members of your body to be God's tool to serve him. So we yield ourselves to God as a tool that he can use us, make us. What's one of the prayers we pray a lot? And I'm sure you do. I know I do. God, use me. Use me, Lord. Why? I'm a tool. That's what I want to be. I want to be a tool. I want to be an instrument that God can use. Amen. My voice, my feet, my body, anything I've got, my mind, anything I have that God can use, I want him to use it. Use me, God. And so our body's a tool that we give to God. And then we present our body as a treasury to God. This is beautiful. 2 Corinthians 4:7, the Bible said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." See, that's why we should not do anything in this body that draws attention to the body, rather than giving the glory to God. Because the treasure, he put it in an earthen vessel so that it would, the glory of God would shine through and not the vessel. I had the privilege to be in the Smithsonian and see the Hope Diamond. I don't know if you've ever had that privilege, but the Hope Diamond, you know, is one of the most notorious diamonds. It's not the biggest, but it's one of the most expensive and one of the most beautiful diamonds in the whole world. But when you go to the Smithsonian, there's a whole lot of stones and gems in there and minerals and a lot of... You'll know where the Hope Diamond is when you get there. You'll know where it is. Because that's, you know, that's the one people are standing around. They kind of mosey through and look at the other stuff, but when they go, plus it's got this thick bulletproof, every kind of proof box around it that's clear. But here's what's really notable about the Hope Diamond. Do you know what it's lying on? I don't either, because that doesn't stand out. You don't think about what it's laying on. Oh, isn't that a beautiful black piece of cloth? That's probably the prettiest cloth I've ever seen in my life. That's not what you're looking at. You're looking at the diamond. And that's the way we're supposed to be. People are not supposed to look at us and say, "Ooh, what a talent. My, you're wonderful." No, they're supposed to see him. We're treasury. But what is in us is worth far more than we are. And our ministry is to bring glory to God. I preached a sermon one time called The Ministry of Jewel. The ministry of a jewel is to bring glory to the owner of the jewel. That's what it's about. It's supposed to give glory to the one that owns it. The jewel's great, but the one that owns it's greater. The one that made it's greater. Amen. It's glory to him. And that's what we're here for. We present our bodies so we can glorify God. Amen. And then, lastly, let me rush along here. It's nearly lastly. Next to lastly. The Bible talks about renovation. You want to renovate your mind? We call it renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. Be not conformed. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our mind every day. Amen. We need to renew our thinking. We can't allow ourselves to think like old times. Colossians 3 verse 9 said, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is a constant process, folks. It's not something that's over quickly. We're constantly renewing. Amen. Did you know that your body, the cells in your body completely refresh every 7 years or by 7 years? They're refreshing every day. How many bodies have I wore out here? Several. Amen. And so if you're 49 years old, you've worn out 7 bodies. No wonder I'm tired. I've done more than that. But your body is constantly changing. You've got to renew your mind. Renew your mind. And it's a constant process. You can't be passive about it. You have to be active. You have to require. If you just leave your mind up to its own, there's no telling where the little thing will go. That's right. You just let your mind wander. You know what I'm talking about. It'll take you to some strange places if you just let your mind. You can't do that. You've got to make your mind think what you want it to think. You've got to renew it. And it starts going down a road it shouldn't be going down. Come back. We're going to stay on this road right here. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to control your thoughts. And you can. And you must. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about, isn't it? Amen. It helps us. To the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Did you know that? When you get the Holy Ghost, He puts His mind in you. So you have the thoughts. You can have godly thoughts because He gives you that when He gives you the Spirit. And when we're in the Holy Ghost, we think spiritual thoughts. Yes, we do. That's it. The idea is to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know what that means, don't we? Amen. Be under the control of the Holy Ghost and not under the control of the flesh. That's what we've got to do. And that's what we have to is allowing ourselves to be in that kind of a condition, that kind of a situation. Amen. Then he tells us actually what to think. And I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, what things are true, everybody say true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you want to renew your mind, this is what you think on. Amen. When a thought comes in your head, kind of go through the list here. Is that true? Is it honest? Is it just or pure or lovely? Is there any good going to come out of it? That's how you train your mind to think. Amen. This is good stuff I'm giving you here tonight. Amen. And this will help us. All of us. It will help me. Amen. And then not only would we renew our mind, but the Bible says then we are transformed. How are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. When you quit thinking like you used to think and being what you used to be, it transforms you. Amen. And so he said, be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how it happens. Transformation, I didn't know this until I studied this a little earlier, but the word transformed and the word transfigured is the same Greek word. Do you remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? That's the same word that transformed. It's the same word. In the Greek, it's the same thing. Transfigured, transformed. How interesting. Well, what does that mean? It means to be changed from the outside or from the inside out. You're changed from the inside out. Isn't that what happened to Jesus? He was there, and all of a sudden, that what was in him, his deity, burst through his humanity that was on the outside, and they could see his deity. They saw what was in him. And that's what transformation is. When the Holy Ghost is in you, it shows up on the outside. Hallelujah. And it transforms you. And you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then also the word, we get our word metamorphosis from the word, the Greek word. What is a metamorphosis? That's the process that a worm goes through to become a butterfly. You remember that from science class? Had that old ugly worm, you know, he weaves a cocoon, and he lives in that cocoon, and the cocoon's ugly as the worm was. But one of these days, there's a commotion, something starts moving, and the cocoon starts shaking, and all of a sudden it starts breaking apart, and a leg sticks out, and another leg sticks out, and the feeler goes out. Next thing you know, a wing flops out, another wing flops out. And here all of a sudden this beautiful creature that you would never have imagined could live in something so ugly. And all of a sudden there he is, and he gets out, and as soon as his wings dry off, he starts flying. He lived all of his days crawling around in the dirt being stepped on. But now you talk about a transformation. He's not a worm anymore. Now he becomes a creature of the light and a creature of the air. And he can fly and he can move and he's beautiful. And that's what we're talking about. That's the renewal process that a Christian goes through when the Holy Ghost transforms you from the creature that you were. Oh, it's awesome, isn't it? Amen. I know that we're not perfect yet, but we sure are better than we used to be. Anybody say amen to that? Praise God. Aren't you glad there's been some progress? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Lord has brought you from a very long way? Hallelujah. Thank God for the change that I've gone through. Transformation. Amen. That's how we get rid of thinking. Get a new mind. And then preserve it. Praise the Lord. Dallas Cowboys, if you'll permit this, were playing in the Super Bowl in 1993. A reporter asked the coach, Jimmy Johnson, said, what did you tell your players before they went out on the field today? What kind of a pep talk did you give? That's what the coach said. He said, I told them that if I laid a 2x4 across the floor, everybody there would walk across it and not fall. Because our focus would be on walking the length of that board. He said, but if I put that same board 10 stories high between two buildings, only a few would make it. Because the focus would be on falling. Interesting, huh? Same board, different place. Same process. Brother Neil, could you walk across a 2x4 on the floor? It wouldn't be a problem, would it? I believe everybody here. I mean, 2x4, depending on how wide it is, I can do one of them 12-inch ones real easy. But, you know, you could just walk across it. It wouldn't be nothing to it. But if you put it between two tall buildings, it's the same board, same distance, same principle. But all of a sudden, it changes your thinking. And you think, ooh, long way down. Changes your... So the coach told his players, he said, I don't want you thinking about the stands and the people. I don't want you even thinking this is the Super Bowl. I don't want you thinking about anything else except it's a game and you need to win. That's all you got to think. Put all the rest of that stuff out of your head and just go out there and play the game. And they won 57-3. So they had a big win. 52-7. I'll get right here in a minute. All of you that knew the figures, you may have figured that out, but I had to read it. And so they won the game. But the thought is this, folks. You see how thought can be transformed? Just depending on how high you are. But it's where our focus is. We got to keep our focus in the right place. No matter whether we're walking a 2x4 on the earth or we're walking up in the air somewhere, we got to keep our focus the same place. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. He brought you out, the Bible said, to take you in. He didn't bring you here to let you down. Amen. He didn't bring you out to let you drown. He's going to take you through. Keep your focus right. That's what happened to Peter when he got his focus right. He was walking on the waters doing good until he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves. Began to sink. Amen. We've got to keep our focus right. Amen. The God that's brought you this far is going to take you all the way home. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you know that you can renew your mind no matter how old you are or how young you are? If you're a new Christian or if you're an old Christian, you can still change your mind the way you think. Amen. If you think, I've been this way a long time. Well, you can change. You can change. You can change. Amen. I'm not nearly through here. I got so much more. I may have to take this up Sunday again, but we can change by our thinking. We have to. That's how you do it. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Didn't he say, he said, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. He said, the spiritual mind is peace with God, but the carnal mind is the enemy of God. So our thinking's important today. It's important how we think. Let's stand together. God, help us to think right. One of the things, if we're not careful, that the world can do is it can teach us how to think. And we had a lot of experience in thinking, and we're surrounded by people that think differently than we do. But you don't have to think like they think. You don't. You don't have to think the way people think. You can think differently, and you should, because you're a Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We must think differently because we're Christians. And don't let the world squeeze you into its way of thinking. Keep the peace of God. Keep faith in God. Stay steadfast. Amen. Don't get your eyes on the waves. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. And when the world's telling you can't, you just keep believing you can, because you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't believe you can really be that good. Yes, you can. God wants you to be. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be righteous. God wants you to live above sin and above reproach. Hallelujah. We can do that. If we're not as good as we ought to be, let's get better. Amen. We can do that. We must, by the renewing of our mind.